This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I got the fever for more cowbell.
Nick brings up the fact, not only great song,
this
Moby?
Is the only good song I have. No, Fatboy Slim.
Fatboy Slim.
Love me some Fatboy Slim.
With Christopher Walken in the video.
Yeah.
And Fat him Boy... dancing in that video was fantastic.
Yes.
Fatboy Slim had some jams now.
He did. Absolutely.
Yeah. He was a big inspiration for Boom Boom, making beats.
Oh, the Fatboy part?
You son of a bitch. That was so good. I hate you for how smooth that was. God, I hate you. That was really good. That was very good.
No, also, but Christopher Walken dancing.
Also, go to hell.
And
I hate you.
Nick, who's Marshmello?
Huh?
He's like kind of like a Fat Boy.
That's
he's
what
more
I thought.
Like an EDM kind of guy.
So the rodeo named their final three nights yesterday, spaced them out, and Lizzo is one.
Cool.
Marshmello is the second.
I knew Lizzo was potentially
And then I
happen.
Didn't hear the 1:30 announcement. But at least Lizzo with the hometown girl does good, comes home. I was not familiar with Marshmello.
I heard the Lizzo rumors. But the Marshmello was the guy that like literally looked like he was just up like the Michelin man. Like, and he never revealed himself on his YouTube videos. And then one day he took off his cap, kind of like they do with Masked Singer. And he revealed himself.
I love that show.
Trey loves the Max.
Who's the DJ that has like the... He always wore it. Was it Danger Mouse or I think Danger?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Danger Mouse wore one.
I know you're talking about.
There's another DJ that wears that. Is that a thing? Like, I've always been fascinated, and I don't want to get off topic too much, but it's always fascinated me that DJs nowadays have become so big and popular as if they're musicians and rock stars. And I realized that back in the day, the DJ was the driving force of hip hop music and culture. In the 70s, because that's what they did. They made the beats. They took a break in a song. They bought two of the same records. They went back and forth, and that's how they made beats back in the day. And that was the big – that's what. So a DJ that could do that was the star, and then they would just let the MC talk over those beats. That was basically the beginning of hip-hop in a nutshell.
But
nowadays, they just get up and play music and then do have a live
show. Dead Mouse 5.
Dead Mouse.
Dead Mouse.
No, it's Dead Mouse.
No. Okay. Well, online, they listed as DJ Deadmau5, but the 5 is supposed to be an S.
Yeah, correct. So it's Deadmau5.
And Marshmello, to your point, Barry, wears a mask that is a marshmallow, but it has a face drawn on it.
Oh, my God.
So all these DJs.
Again, these you're not a musician. You're just literally, you might as well. It would be like, I don't know, coming out and, okay, I don't have any music. I'm just going to lip sync songs. From everybody
but
else,
you're
and
not
be a
giving
star.
Them enough credit, though.
It'd be like a karaoke guy touring and being a multimillionaire for doing karaoke.
I mean, I know you don't want to spend too much time on it, but
we can fight about it.
Who cares?
But they've got skills, man. Like a lot of these guys.
Well, why wouldn't you want to be seen?
I used to DJ.
Deal is being
I know
known
what the
so
skills
you can make
are.
More money, right?
You could still make a brand for you. You could
so
still
the mask
make a name
your
for
brand?
You could still make a name for yourself. Without revealing your face.
I don't understand, though, the fascination with, oh, my God, Deadmau5 is DJing a party. Basically, all he's doing is playing music. There's
that he made.
No. They played tons of other people's music.
Yeah, but he might incorporate lyrics and part of the beats, but he's making his own beats, too. That's what makes him a DJ.
I mean, a lot of these celebrity DJs and all these other DJs that are making names and touring, all they literally do is go to a club, set up their whatever their rig is, whether it's CDs or labels if they still use, or records if they still use vinyl, take their crates and DJ and play music, and they become famous for doing that. And I'm like, how are you touring? I did that at a club before. No one gave a single crap about the DJ other than if you played a whack song and cleared the dance floor.
But then maybe Nick's got a point. Maybe they draw attention to themselves with the mask. That becomes the marketing tool.
That's weird.
And then they become bigger because of it. I'll see your point, Nick. I will see your point. And by the way, where are you on Daft Punk then?
But that's their original music. and they're actually they're making the music, and they're either doing it for somebody else or they're singing it on their own records. They're musicians, not DJs.
And they won the Grammy with Pharrell.
I get it when DJ Khaled creates music and brings in rappers because he's not a rapper. I understand that part of it because at least he's creating something. A lot of DJs just are using other people's music and DJing a party and becoming famous on it. And it blows my mind.
A lot of them start out that way, and a lot of them remain local because they don't maybe make their own music. But a lot of them do. I mean, it's not all of them. I will tell you that. Like, a guy like Marshmello, that guy's got skills. Like, he's not just playing other people's
so
records.
So he's more like Fatboy Slim. But he's
100%.
Not,
okay. Yeah. Like, Marshmello is not that guy. Diplo is another guy that will...
Diplo's like the biggest in the world, is he not?
Oh, dude, he's going to be in Vegas like in 2 weeks. Like, he's being promoted all over the Vegas Strip right now. Like, he's massive. And he was in Houston, I want to say, 2 or 3 months ago on that, I guess, semi-new venue on Richmond that I think used to be T-Town years ago.
Oh, no. You know who I was thinking of? Tiesto. Tiesto's worldwide.
I think I've heard of Tiesto.
Like,
Diplo's worldwide as well.
And he is. But here's a fun fact for you. Do you know who's the biggest techno DJ head on the planet? You're never going to guess this. Craig Ackerman.
Mother Teresa.
Craig Ackerman.
Is she alive?
We would land at like 3 in the morning in like some eastern city, and you could just hear his headphones with techno beats. And I'm like, Craig. And he's like, man, Tiesto's just off the chain. I was like, wow. Oh my God, at 3 a.m.?
That is crazy. I do have a comment about your boy and the Rockets broadcast.
Oh, I got to get to that. I want to hear it. Yeah.
Because
organically, of
course.
Fair
is fair. But no, okay, so I don't know Marshmello. So he's more of a Fatboy Slim where he sets up and he creates his own music and plays, and I respect that.
Yeah.
Even Moby, even though I didn't like Moby, at least Moby made his own music. But there are tons of DJs that just DJ. They don't make a lot of their own music. Blows my mind, but I'm like, okay, I guess that's what
some guys cross over
to mainstream.
I think those
DJs exist for sure, though.
Like David Guetta crossed over to mainstream after he started as a DJ. Or Calvin Harris before he got into – didn't he get into it with like – he got into it with somebody. It was Taylor Swift or somebody. But you got those guys, and those guys didn't have any gimmicks or anything like that. They just were really talented musically in terms of what they were able to do production mix-wise. But, yeah, then you get the other guys that have to rely on a marketing gimmick.
So are you going to Marshmello? Either of you?
No.
I'm not, but I've listened to his music a lot.
I told you how I feel about rodeo concerts.
That's true. Okay.
It's just like watching them on TV.
Marshmello's even done music with country singers.
Has he?
I think he's done a song with Morgan Wallen, if I'm not mistaken.
No idea who that is. I am so old. Yesterday, driving home from the improv, I'm listening to the Rockets game. Mm-hmm. On the radio. Mm-hmm. Couple of observations. I feel like because I have come on this show and picked on Robert Ford and I like Steve Sparks. Mm-hmm. I think he does a pretty good job. Robert Ford is just not my cup of tea.
Okay.
But I feel like we've talked about Vandermeer and we've stayed away from a little bit the Rockets broadcast for a couple reasons. One, I love Craig Ackerman, and I think he does a fantastic job. And the other one is because one of our competitors is on the team.
Adam Wexler.
Wrong Adam.
Well, they're both on.
No, this is Clanton.
But they alternate
play-by-play.
Games.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they alternate games working with Craig. And Matt, because when Craig's on TV, Matt does radio.
Now, I'm sure this is going to start, and I think Matt does a good job, too. But I'm sure this is going to start some sort of Twitter beef, and I don't care. I won't respond. But... couple observations just driving home, because I don't listen to the Rockets broadcast on the radio that much. Craig is really good at what he does, except for the bacon puns.
Whoever hired that guy, though, they knew what
genius.
They were doing.
He got into these bacon puns, and...
it's a big thing with him and Matt Bullard these days.
And they were... he was, something happened. He was like, oh, I cooked him up, and they put bacon in a frying pan and cooked him up. And I was like, okay, that was funny. And, oh, look at that. That was a foul. Bacon didn't agree. He's salty. So some of them were pretty good.
Can you explain the fact that, for those that don't know, Bacon is a player for the Hornets?
Correct. Not Kevin.
Right.
That's a different
thing. But six degrees of separation.
Yeah. But just listening to the game impartially, just neutral observer, and I was like, man, why is Clanton even there? He doesn't say anything. He's literally not even Ed McMahon on the Tonight Show. Like, he would just, somebody would do something, he goes, ha, wow, what?
Sounds like
TV. That was your breakdown?
Sounds like TV.
It's like, bro, I mean, he provided no insight as to what was going on. There would be stretches of 2 to 3 to 4 minutes where he wouldn't talk. And I'm like, man, that's the best check in sports media. He's just sitting there doing reads in and out of breaks and not really breaking it down. And then I'm thinking, okay, look, that's fine. But why wouldn't they go out and get somebody that can actually break down the sport? So and that's not me knocking Clanton. I'm just saying, why not go out and get a ball player that knows the X's and O's and can tell you why that was a good play other than somebody that just goes, well, that was a good play.
You're absolutely knocking Clanton, by the way.
Tell me why I am.
Or a guy that worked there long enough and knew the sport like the back of his hand and did it. But, no, I mean, the thing is that the way that it's laid out structurally, and obviously I know this, but the way it was laid out structurally when they set this thing up this way was the studio host is just supposed to do the studio show. But because Craig was a one-man band doing it all himself, it got to the point where Craig asked me to get involved more, and then I ended up kind of growing the position into being a color analyst as well as studio. But if he and Wexler are doing what they're supposed to do.
Now, I can't say anything about Wex yet because I haven't heard.
They're supposed to do pre-half and post and coming back from breaks. I think also Craig has gotten to the point, too, where if he doesn't feel completely 100% comfortable and with everything, he'd prefer to just do it himself.
Okay, so they don't have Clanton there to be a color analyst.
As far as I know, and I don't know how they're doing it now.
But he's talking, I mean, there was one point where Gomez did something. He goes, well, Gomez is one of the few guys in the league that could do, they could pull off that. One of the few strong players in the league that could do that.
What did he do, travel?
I don't remember what it was, but it was like, I thought Clanton's role was now, color analyst. So now, if it's not, then all of this is for naught, and I take back everything I said, because going in and out of breaks, he was smooth. He did his job. I mean, I had no qualms with that.
Well, but
when you have a second mic on a play-by-play broadcast,
that's what I was gonna say.
You assume that it's the color analyst. It's the X's and O's guy that's going to give you the details and the nuance of the game. And so that's what I assume. So that's my bad?
No, it's not. It's not, because here's the thing. If it was laid out the way I said, then the mic shouldn't be on.
Oh, well,
if it was
on.
if it was laid out like you said, and then it was silent for a long period of time, but then he would interject.
Correct.
That's awkward.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't want to disparage the good name of Adam Clanton. If he was not meant to be the color analyst, but if he was, well,
tomorrow morning, good morning to everybody in the fine city of Houston, Texas, unless you're a Laker fan or that guy on that show in the afternoon with that guy that doesn't like me.
Can't wait to see my Twitter later.
And that would be me. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to continue to roll on. Plenty more to get to. And again, if you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call that number, text that number, hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 975.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
How is the theme from Hill Street Blues?
Whatever. Just
what the hell is this?
Hey, this is Project Pat, Choices. I do like that he used Hill Street Blues, but I don't know if he curses. Pot it down.
Who is Project Pat?
Yeah.
He's just a rapper from the projects, obviously.
He's not from the suburbs. Maybe he should be a DJ with a mask.
Him and Suburbs Phil used to tour together.
Like Deadmo5.
Deadmo5.
Patrick Earl Houston.
You are.
I'm getting killed by everybody. Deadmau5 is an S. I didn't know.
I said,
I'm not a DJ. My fault.
I said Danger Mouse one time just to see, and one guy caught it. I was like, yeah, the DJ Danger Mouse. One guy's like, he's stupid. It's Deadmau5. Thank you.
Co-founder of 3-6 Mafia.
Project Pat?
Yep.
Deadmo5? No.
God, we're old sometimes, aren't we?
I have to admit
it's not sometimes.
I didn't know that.
Okay. All the time.
Mr. Cutting Edge.
Young and sexy.
I saw that shirt you're wearing today.
Young and sexy.
Old in the past.
Young and sexy, huh? Young and sexy.
All right. You, my friend. Huh? We're a little bit intrigued by the fact that the Astros public relations department had a little get together yesterday to debut their new slogan for the year.
Yeah, so they got all excited and got everybody together. You know, every year they have a hashtag and they're excited about it. And then they unveiled the video and the hashtag. And the hashtag was hashtag for the H, which is awesome, except that the Houston Roughnecks have been using that hashtag for a really, really long time now. And that's been there. Now, I don't know if they got inside information. I don't know. But I can look back to, you know, you can go on their Twitter account and just scroll back and see how long has the Houston Roughnecks been using it. Well, at least back to January 25th. So you could have looked that far back, and I can scroll even further, but it's just a really bad look for the Astros when now they just stole something else now. First you steal signs. Now you're stealing hashtags. Like, come on, man. How do you not Google it real fast and see who else is using it?
Well, and I think that's the key, because in a lot of their marketing phrases for the year in the past, they just did things internally. They used people from the office on the billboards. I knew people that were in the front office. And instead of using an agency, which would do the things you're talking about, they just, quote unquote, created them themselves in the office.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. I mean, even when you're dead set and have a vote internally and everything else and think this is the one, you probably should do a little due diligence like you did with Osuna.
I mean, I'm literally on Twitter scrolling back. I'm back a month now, January 5th, and I'm seeing tweets for hashtag for the H. That's a month. And I realize that marketing department's been...
From the Roughnecks?
Yes.
From
a month ago. January 5th, they tweeted out, 2019 brought us a ton of amazing moments in the Houston area. We're excited for 2020. Hashtag for the H.
Doesn't matter.
What do you mean it doesn't matter? You stole the Roughnecks hashtag.
Yeah, but the Cougs are a bigger fan base. We can steal whatever we want. It's all good.
The Cougs?
The Cougs. Where are you going with this?
Isn't the Cougs the one that did it first?
The Astros.
Oh, the Astros
stole this.
Yeah, I thought you said the Cougs stole it.
No, the Astros.
I was going to be dumb and like.
The Astros, you know, last year it was take it back.
But for the H is not that good anyway, in my opinion.
But this is the Astros' big hashtag. And I'm like, really? I think they should have went with hashtag yes we can. Kind of as a hat tip to trash cans.
I like that.
Hashtag yes
we
can.
Yeah.
And then it's the subliminal kiss my ass baseball.
Like that sucks for the Roughnecks.
And on the flip side, the Roughnecks could have dropped for the H and just gone with at least we have a first round pick. Because no one else in the city has one.
Maybe. I think they should drop it now at this point. The Roughnecks.
You do? Well, they...
Because it's too late.
Why?
Social media is taking... Because there's no way they're going to come back from that. The Astros fan base is way bigger. It'd be beneficial for them to just change it. Because even if you get the Astros to stop, there's going to be so many fans that are going to still remember that hashtag. You know what I mean?
So going back to December 18th, 2019, they used hashtag working for H-Town. So at some point, I don't know when, but it evolved into for the H. And it may be, you know, at the new year that they decided, all right, here's what I wonder. I wonder if someone in the Roughnecks had inside info that this is what the Astros marketing was going to be and jumped out in front of it.
Maybe they wanted it.
And maybe the Roughnecks stole it from the Astros. I doubt that.
I wonder even further if someone from the Roughnecks sees the Astros slogan and doesn't decide to take up a little action and call them out.
They should.
I think they should
be upset, for the record. I thought it was the Cougs that did it. But
you were going to forgive the Cougs, but not the Astros.
Exactly.
I got
But the Roughnecks should be upset, but I still think they should change it, because it's going to be hard to change that and reverse that on social media.
Upset, for the record, or whatever it is you're playing this off of.
Yeah, me too. But that
whatever
would be
Barry Laminack. What is this, Randy Newman?
Well, at least we know when the Astros use it, the H doesn't stand for honesty. Maybe it did with the Roughnecks. Maybe not with the Astros.
What is this you picked?
By the way, for this song alone,
I lose.
You lose.
You should lose for the next 4 weeks.
A month.
I'm going to agree with you. Because I really...
There's a flute in it.
This is Procol Harum.
Oh, kind of
sounds like blues travel.
It's Procol Harum.
That right there did. You're right.
This is Procol Harum. Your own choice. You got a problem with Procol Harum?
Yeah.
They're badass.
Well, they're just bad.
Well, I would agree
and
with
their
that.
Ass.
I don't...
If they're badass, that's your problem.
I don't know. I've never heard any of these songs other than the first one, so...
I hope we never hear another one. We'll go to break. That's the first half of the show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
My watch went off while I was dancing. It goes, good, you're being active.
Barry's the worst when it comes down to coming back from break. The worst.
What? When have we ever been that formal? Come on. Well, we don't need to be that formal.
We just adapt around you.
We don't need to be that formal.
What is
good
this?
Stuff. You like Earth, Wind, and Fire?
I do like Earth, Wind, and Fire, and okay. I can't say that I've ever heard this song.
That would make two of us. I can't believe my watch thought I was exercising because I was dancing. That's how little I move.
Tell you what.
I moved my arm.
Get that on film, and you can have yourself a talented gift. I love
yours
mine.
Is amazing.
I love that one. Yeah. That was when I was telling Nick to suck it because he wasn't beating me in the trivia. Did you see that one, Nick?
Yeah, I retweeted it.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So somebody texted the show and said, I like how Barry overlooked my message about, and then he made a stupid joke, and that's why it was overlooked, sir, because not all texts are good, and I know you guys like to make jokes, but not all your jokes are good, so I don't read them. And yours was dumb. So it didn't get read, but this text is. So congratulations. Here's the attention you were looking for.
You could use that if you want.
Yeah.
Because, you know, no a lot thanks. Of people want you to use their jokes on stage.
No, thank you. Hey, speaking of,
yeah.
Tonight, Secret Group, 10 o'clock.
Shh.
Hump
Be there.
Show. Shh. It's not called Hump Show. What's it called? It's called Hump Night. A stand-up comedy show. Not Hump Show. That would be a weird
Hump Show.
That would be a
at
weird
the Secret
show.
Secret Group.
That would be, that's like Eyes Wide Shut.
It's our secret.
What time?
It's a hump show.
It's like Eyes Wide Shut. You don't want to go to that one. We're all naked with a mask on.
Well, no, like you're a DJ.
The masked comedian, except we're naked with just like goggles or whatever. It's terrible. No,
you're
it's
not
called
naked,
Hump Night.
It's two turntables and a mic.
It's called Hump Night, so come out. 10 o'clock.
Tonight. 10 p.m.
10 p.m. I'll be there.
Okay.
Come out.
There you go.
Good times.
Fred going to be there?
Secret Group. I don't know. He said he did Radu Bandar's show
last
week. Yeah,
I saw Radu in here yesterday.
And he said it went really well.
That's so what Radu was telling me
I need
well.
To circle back with Radu and see if Fred's lying. But I trust Fred. I think he did well.
Right.
There's no reason to not believe that.
All right. So a couple of things here. One, we were talking about the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys caught this or not, and I kind of had a feeling this was only going to be a matter of time. Pete Rose is now using the Astros sign-stealing saga and to ask the commissioner for reinstatement. And he's not just going to Rob Manfred on the phone and saying, look, if you're going to penalize people for this, you really didn't penalize people for steroids like you should. How are you going to keep me out of the Hall of Fame? He and his people submitted a over 20-page document on why he should be reinstated for baseball after all that happened with the Astros.
So what say you?
I'm going to tell you something right now. As a player, he's the hit king. And you can criticize him as a manager. You can penalize him as a manager. But we've had this discussion before, I believe. I firmly believe, as a baseball player, Pete Rose belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
I firmly believe that.
Well, here's why baseball won't do it. And here's the distinction that I'm sure they didn't mention in the paper. Now, this has anything to do with whether I think he should or should not be in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
But my argument, if I was Major League Baseball, is, yeah, the difference between what you did, Pete, and what Barry Bonds and the whole steroid era did and what the Astros and the whole sign-stealing era did is they're trying to do it to win games. You had the ability to throw games. Big difference.
Mm-hmm. As a manager.
Yeah, as a manager. But who knows if he bet as a player. You don't know
if
he
did. I think it came out.
Yeah, you know, if he did,
I think it came out that he never
but
did
But you can still
player.
Manage really? Your team to a loss. For profit, that's still possible. You make pitching changes, you squeeze bunts, dumb decisions in the field. There's plenty of ways you can throw a baseball game subtly without people knowing it to make a profit in gambling circles. So that to me, that's the big argument is, yeah, if all of these teams and players were doing it to throw games to profit from it, but they're trying to win games. And that's a big difference. Then you talk about integrity of the game. They're just trying to get the upper hand. And everybody in baseball does that, whether it be a little pine tar in the glove on the mound or a little stick them on the arm like the Red Sox pitchers did in the playoffs. That's a whole different thing to me.
So I ask you the same question you asked me.
Okay.
Should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame?
He absolutely cheated as a player. ESPN reported it. Outside the Lines reported it.
That's what I thought.
As a player?
Yeah. Yep.
I remember it coming out when I was on either on Yahoo or SB Nation Radio.
They have proof that he gambled. Mm-hmm. What they don't have proof of is did he do anything on the field to materially affect
his
bet?
Did he bet against his team or for his team?
I think they have some of it that he bet for his team. I don't know if they have any that show he bet against his own team.
The documents are copies of pages from a notebook seized from the home of former Rose associate Michael Bertolini during a raid by the U.S. Postal Inspection Service. Nearly 2 months after Rose was declared permanently ineligible by the Major League Baseball. So it was a notebook.
Yeah.
That revealed everything.
And it was probably, so did it, I guess, did they didn't say whether he did bet on his own team to lose?
I don't remember. I'll read it and I'll let you know.
Yeah, because I don't remember. I don't recall that. But
26 years, the notebook was remained under court-ordered seal.
Which is very suspicious.
Yeah.
Very suspicious.
So according to Rose's lawyers, basically they said to the commissioner, that Major League Baseball has recently opted not to punish players guilty of major game-changing rules infractions, and as a result, should end Rose's 30-and-a-half-year ban for gambling on baseball while he was manager of the Cincinnati Reds. So it doesn't really cover what you're talking about, Nick, which obviously they're going to probably try and steer clear of.
Yeah, I go back and forth on this, but I think there's a difference in cheating on the field to gain an advantage to win or taking a, but, and then there's a whole other one when you start.
I mean, he played his ass off as a player.
Yeah, he did. But you don't know how the gambling affected him and at what point. You know, as he got older, did it matter? I don't know.
Prior to 2015, it actually seemed like there was a chance, like a small chance
that he could get in.
Yeah, that 2015 report is what killed it. That Outside the Lines report is what killed it. In 2015 going forward, that's when he knew he would never be a Hall of Famer.
And I don't think that, you know, no, that would be like Tim Donaghy coming out and saying, hey, look, there were other people that did bad things in, you know, in basketball. Well, but you materially affected the outcome of the game.
And I see your side of it. I just think, and I wasn't aware of what Nick's talking about, that they proved that he bet as a player. And then, like you said, the next step would be, did he bet against or for his own team? If you bet on your own team to win and you bet on yourself.
See, to me, that's the line. If it comes out that Pete Rose, all he ever did was bet on the Reds to win, I have no problem.
Or
the Phillies or what. I have no problem with making him a Hall of Famer. Because by taking steroids or stealing signs, you're basically betting on yourself to be better and win. But if you start betting against your own team that you're on, either managing or playing for, to me, that's where the integrity of the game, it's a whole different level. And I get it. Cheating is cheating when you're using steroids or whatever, and it affects the integrity of the game. You still got to put the bat on the ball. And at the end of the day, you're trying to win. You're not trying to lose. Everybody's trying to win. Some people just cheat to do it. To me, the difference is, are you throwing games?
Yeah, that's the key element.
Or are you trying to win? And that may seem petty, and I understand the argument if everyone wants to text and call in and say, dude, it doesn't matter. Cheating is cheating, and gambling is gambling, and both of them affect the material integrity of the game, regardless of whether it's good or bad, and everybody should be bad. Okay, I accept that argument. But for me, my moral standard, it's drawing that line at, did he bet against his own team and himself?
Yeah.
And if so for now, we don't know that. So, I mean, I don't know. I feel like baseball knows because those court documents are sealed. Uh-huh. And I feel like that's probably why he's not getting back in.
And you're dumb enough to put it all in a notebook, too.
Yeah.
And
it wasn't his notebook. It was probably his bookie. It was probably...
I remember there's a story behind it, but they've said on several occasions why the hell that wasn't destroyed and how that got to be...
Especially when they start the investigation. Just burn it.
Yeah, exactly.
At some point when the investigation starts, no one knows that exists.
Just call someone at the Patriots. They'll tell you exactly how to get rid of evidence. It's that easy.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. This is hour number 2, 3-hour show on a Way Back Wednesday. Plenty more to get to. And, of course, if you want to chime in, the opportunity is all there for you. 713-780-3776. That's our HR&P listener line. Call that number. Text that number. Hit us on Twitter as we've got much, much more. Taking you till 4 right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Check the sound.
Check this out.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I always thought this was changes. No?
Can I talk now?
Can you what?
Is it okay? Is now the appropriate time?
Yeah, this is the time to speak now.
That was The Far Side. Choices.
The cartoon?
Oh, my God. And I'm done.
Thank you.
We'll see you at so. Three.
So we were talking about Pete Rose.
Uh-huh.
So before we go any further, just a magical name is on the board. So I think we have to take the call.
Oh, okay.
Joel is here and wants to talk steroids and sign stealing. Joel, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, man?
Oh, not much. So I was just listening about the topic about Pete Rose and how he's trying to get reinstated by the commissioner, and how you guys were talking about what the things that they've done and how it affects the game. So my theory on the whole Astros sign stealing thing, which I don't know if anyone's talked about yet, but in a perfect world where the sign stealing works perfectly, the catcher lays down the signal, the guys interpret it through a video, they relay it to the dugout, they bang on the trash can, get the message out to the batter, and luckily hopefully he's able to get the message and swing before the pitch is thrown. In a perfect world, that works about 10% of the time. So, in my opinion, that's not so much affecting the game as much as the steroid issue is, or, the things that Pete Rose did.
Fair enough. Appreciate the call, Joel. Thanks, man.
I'll disagree a little bit just from the standpoint of the intention is to materially affect the game. Whether it does or not, or whether it's successful, is a completely different thing. I mean, when you look at how many times Rafael Palmeiro struck out, if he still used steroids to hit his 50 home runs, even though he struck out, 300 times, it still doesn't matter. So it's not necessarily for me based on the outcome.
The purists are going to say no matter what the percentage is, it was successful.
Correct.
The
intent.
Thought process and intent was to cheat. And so that in itself should tell you that it was wrong. It should be punished accordingly. And in Pete Rose's case, it should let you know that you are never going to be somewhere you desperately obviously want to be. And that's the Hall of Fame. And it's a shame because, again, as in my mind, he's my dad's favorite player because, we always talk about in basketball how it sickens us when we see guys that are buddies, but when they're playing against each other in a big game and they're going and hugging and helping each other up and acting like boys when you should be wanting to step on the throat of anybody in another team's uniform because you're trying to win. And Pete Rose played the game that way. I mean, look, in an All-Star game, he basically ruined Ray Fosse's career by plowing him over at the plate, but he played hard, and he's the greatest hitter in the history of the game from a standpoint of total career hits. Okay. I'm not going to say batting average in the whole works. I know you can interpret it a lot of different ways. But, okay, he's the all-time hit king, as he likes to refer to himself.
Sure.
That guy should probably be in the Hall of Fame.
Unless just he on cheated. Merits. Barry Bonds is the home run king.
Barry Bonds is going to get in at some point, I believe.
Well, then if he does, then I think that they need to reevaluate if they're going to allow Pete Rose in.
Don't you feel like at some point, Clemens, Bonds, the guys that we've talked about that would have gotten in before they ever started taking the crap?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Not necessarily, because again, if you cheated, you cheated. And I think the distinction, though, if you let Bonds in and you don't let Pete Rose, it's going to be because Pete Rose bet against his own team. But at the end of the day, if the rule is we're not letting in cheaters, well, cheater's a cheater. Whether it be Bonds and steroids or the Astros banging trash cans or now the Astros players got lucky because no sanctions were done per player. So there was nothing that where baseball would say, nope, they're not, they weren't, they were basically given a pass. So I don't know, man. It's a tricky situation. I see both sides of it, but if Bonds ends up not getting in, Pete Rose has no shot. I'll just tell you now.
Now, is A-Rod getting in? Because he's another guy with steroids.
Well, he's actually been suspended for steroids.
I'm saying he got drilled for steroids,
yeah.
But everybody was all over the fact that his career and his career path and the numbers and everything that he did were just so fantastic that that's going to be one that's going to be real interesting because I believe his first year of eligibility is coming up this next year.
Well, it's like you said, those guys before they took the steroids could have had numbers worthy of
they
the Hall
did.
Of Fame.
That's the thing. I mean, you look at guys
the career
that you could
trajectory,
say, and we've talked to some of them that, you know, talked about some of the guys that just you could tell when they started taking them. Sammy Sosa went from 180-pound center fielder to everything that he did with home runs and
I
size.
Mean, all you got to do is look at baseball cards from their rookie year to the year that they did something, whether it be Bonds or even, I hate to say this, cover your ears, Houston, Bagwell. When you look at Jeff Bagwell when he came up versus Jeff Bagwell later, it was night and day. And I'm not saying he was ever busted for steroids. I'm just telling you, it was different.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we'll see. In. I mean, because like I said, I believe firmly that Bonds, Clemens, and even A-Rod had careers where they were merited to be in the Hall of Fame before they got into the steroid
crowd. Okay. I do agree with that, but I want to get this call in.
All right. Well, then take it.
Dean is on the phone, and Dean, I don't know what Dean wants to talk about. Hey, Dean, what do you want to talk about, bud? Hello?
Well, I want to tell you a little story and see what you have to say. I'll tell you where I am first, and I'll give a little details here. Through a bizarre circumstance last week that I can't explain, my mind kind of went through some strange twists, and bottom line is I became aware of the Internet and some issues that are facing our country right now. So I went to start telling people about it, and for reasons I don't know, I was grabbed by police, and for no other reason than fear of I was saying things that people thought were strange and that caused panic, they arrested me, threw me on the ground. I've got at least a broken arm or a broken elbow and cuts all over me. And then when they took me to an insane asylum, well, Kingwood Pines Hospital, and they're taking the position that they won't let me out. I had no water, and I'm sitting here and saying, this is kind of ridiculous. Simply because they think I might be deluded into believing that I'm God. I told them that I wasn't. I said that I personally had the ability I wish I could claim that credit, but I'm not. I'm a computer program engineer and not engineer, but Yale graduate lawyer, and you know that all that organization stuff. My mind just got organized, and I could think faster than people.
Wait, and Dean. Hold on, Dean. Sure. So you don't have water, but you have access to a phone?
No, I'm right now in they've got one phone right here that's a group phone. We've got water. I'm back outside. They didn't keep me in solitary. But I'm with the rest of the patients, but they just, man, will not let me leave. And I think I can prove the verified is what I'm saying. I'm not claiming, like I said, I'm not claiming to be anything. Other than smart enough. I know what's wrong with the problems. I know why we're doing what we are. I know why the election situation is the way it is. I know how to fix it. The good news is everybody, I mean, what I am doing right now, every single one of you can do. You can do it forever. There's not this heaven hell stuff, but the way that the universal machine is set up that creates realities is, you know, once somebody became aware of how to do it, then, you know, they could start changing factors of the development of place we live in.
Hey, Dean, I feel like you were trying to call George Norrie. Did you get
no,
that wrong?
Believe it or not.
Do you think this is the Michael Barry show by mistake? Because I'm Barry, but I'm just Barry, not Michael
Barry. No, you're Barry Ramanack, and you're in Nick's there with you, and then later on, AJ and Fred will be on. I read Fred's book, Jesus Left Chicago. I thought it was very good to give you literary.
What the hell is happening right now?
I'm here, Dean. Dean. I'm here, too.
Okay. Dean,
you can hear me.
Yeah.
And I'm slowing down the way I talk, because normally, because my brain's working at a different level, I talk too fast.
Gotcha. Yeah, there was a lot to process there, Dean. That was, wow.
I'm here.
Well, maybe be glad he doesn't know your name.
That's true. What the hell was that?
That was a lot to process. So basically, God just called the suspects, if I'm hearing this right. And he's been detained because he knows how to fix the country and they don't want him to.
Dude, you should ask him if Pete Rose is getting in. If he's God, he knows.
I mean, that was a lot.
Maybe he could have named off the players that were involved in this scandal.
If I would have known, I would have started that call, Dean, west of the Rockies.
Dean, hello.
Dean, that was way too much information to process, Dean.
Wow.
Boy, I was too much. I don't even know.
Nick, are you screening today?
I am not.
Oh. I feel like.
I can see why.
You know how, what?
Is that why you were asking me that question?
Yeah, because I don't think that Dean would have made the air if you were there.
You know how.
No, I don't think that's him.
You know how you see, like, Kanye lost his mom and things changed? Or you break up with a woman and she turns out to, like, I don't know, lose it? I don't know, man. I don't know who broke up with Dean, but that was trippy. I'll have what he's having. I'll tell you that much. I will have what he's having.
He knew Fred, AJ, and read Fred's book.
Yeah.
Knew you and Nick.
Yeah.
And didn't know what station he was calling.
No, I think he said he knew what
station. Why would you call ESPN to say that?
I mean, we need somebody to bust him out so he can fix the country, obviously.
Well, it's on your way home.
How do you know?
Because he said he's in Kingwood something.
This Kingwood's not on my way home. Do you know?
It's close enough.
Do you know how a map works?
Go out of your way for a suspect. Come on.
No.
Why not?
No.
Two hots in a spare bedroom at the Laminack Manor. You can save this entire situation.
If he has the solutions, he don't need me. He don't need me. Boy, that was maybe the best call we've ever had.
That's okay. Wow. That was, wow. You're right. There was a lot to digest. And then
that was a lot to process. I wasn't expecting all that. I thought Dean was maybe just going to be like, hey, you guys are wrong about Pete Rose, and I should know because I created him.
Wow. All right, with that, we are wrapping up hour number two of the three-hour show. We still have an hour left to go. If you want to hear from Robert Covington as the Rockets are on their way to Los Angeles to take on the Lakers, he'll talk about how he feels rejoining the team that once gave him his start in the Houston Rockets in a trade that happened yesterday. And again, according to Kelly Eco, the Rockets are currently in discussions with Eastern Conference teams trying to obtain a center, so it doesn't look like they're done. If anything happens, we'll try and update you.
Come on, Dikembe Mutombo.
No $2 bills. Hour number two is gone. Hour number three comes up next. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.